Jez is going to finish off this month's how to live in peace. So, Jez, you ready?
Yeah.
Great.
Good morning, everyone. Sorry, I got a little bit of man flu going on this morning, so you'll have to forgive me if I hack my way through some of this. If you like a Bible to follow some of the passages this morning, do stick your hand up, and hopefully some of the welcome team will come and furnish you with one. So this is the last in our series on peace. So far we've looked at shalom, we've looked at peace with God, and we've looked at peace with others. But what about living at peace with ourselves? Is that sometimes the hardest of them all? So today I want to talk about promises, lies, truth, and the semicolon as well. So, the promise. If you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 14. And we're just going to look quickly at verses 23 to 27. Let me read it. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus was talking to the disciples during a really, really difficult time. It was a time of betrayal, a time of abandonment. There was difficult change and transition coming, harsh realities to face, and a lot of confusion. Yet, in the midst of this, Jesus promises peace. The Greek is, I'm going to say this wrong, irene, I think. Peace, quietness, and rest, not stress or worry and doubt, but tranquility. Verse 27, it was, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." He's quite clear, so why, knowing this promise, knowing that we can live in peace with God, knowing that we can live in peace with others, why do most of us not allow ourselves to carry this peace? We are often our own harshest critics. We fail to give ourselves grace that we would give to others and the grace that God gives to us. Tell me, are any of these familiar? I'm not beautiful enough. I'm not handsome enough. I've made so many mistakes. I've done things I'm ashamed of. I could achieve more. I could have achieved more. I'm not doing enough. I could do better. I don't like the way I look. I don't like the way I sound. I should be more like him. I should be more like her. I'm no good at this. Everybody's better at that. People think I'm stupid. I make too many bad choices. There's something wrong, different about me. Sometimes we phrase it slightly differently. Sometimes we say, oh, they're so good at this, and oh, they're great at doing that. And when we compare, it eats away at our joy. It robs us of our peace. I think our self-view is often deeply, deeply corrupted. It makes us obsess about how we look. We cover ourselves up. It stops us from going places and doing things. It drives us to work longer and harder than necessary. It can stop us from trying. It can hold us back. So much of what we do is so that we are less of the person we think we are and more of the person we think we ought to be. Where does this come from? Think about some of those things that may have resonated with you. Unless you've been around some particularly toxic people, mostly no one will have said any of those things to you. Those lies are not from God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Let's be really clear. We are in the midst of a battle, and for now, the enemy, the devil, is a fierce opponent. And the last thing he wants is for us to realize Christ's promise, and so he whispers in our ear. Now, sometimes some of the things we think about ourselves are true. Some of the enemy's lies have a ring of truth. They say all the best lies have an element of truth to them. We all sin. We all make mistakes. And we should own up to and own our sin. But owning our sin, our shortcomings, our mistakes, it's not the same as being owned by them. Who do you belong to? Who or what owns you? Are you owned by your past, by your mistakes, by comparison, by a toxic comment, by the behavior of someone else? Are you owned by the devil's lies? Or are you owned by God? Because he has a very, very different opinion of you. So, this is a semicolon. The humble semicolon. The semicolon is used more and more as a tattoo, and it's become a really powerful and simple symbol. For those who have been affected by addiction, suicide, and mental health issues, it's a grammatical metaphor which says your story isn't over. Imagine your life is a book. What rule is there that says that the book has to finish how it started? At any point on any day, how your story finishes doesn't have to be how it started. I've had many semicolons in my life, the biggest being 5th of November 2005. And on that day, I was admitted into rehab to be treated for alcoholism. I remember the day vividly, and whilst there was a lot to be work to be done, I knew that my life from that moment on didn't have to be how it had been in the past. Had that not happened, 100% guarantee, today I would be in prison or dead. Yet neither of those things are happening, and God willing, my story that had me in the grip of addiction will finish with me wearing a dog collar. And the Bible is full of people with semicolons in their lives, and actually you're pretty hard-pressed to find anybody in the Bible who hasn't made some serious mistakes. Jonah, Moses, Zacchaeus, even the penitent thief crucified on the cross next to Christ, his life didn't finish the way it had started. And all our fresh starts and our semicolons aren't necessarily that big, but it doesn't matter. What matters is the choice that we make to ignore the lies and choose truth. And not just for ourselves, but because the lies prevent us from living out God's plans for us. So, what is the truth? It's about love. We seek it, we long for it, we esteem it. If you look at the charts, you'll see that pretty much every song is written about love, or what perhaps modern society considers to be love. I literally have no idea what's in the charts, but I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. And all the reasons we compare and want to be better, to be different, is because we want to be loved and valued. That's why we work more hours or we worry about how we look. But because we believe these lies, we're drinking from the wrong well, we're seeking love in the wrong places. And guess what? It never really works. This is the real truth. God loves you. And his love is perfectly proportioned, not to what you think of yourself, but it's proportioned to how you really are, who you really are. His love is unconditional. No matter what you do, he will always love you. You don't even need to believe in him for him to love you. And he's not your other half. You know, my marriage to Ali requires both of us to express our love to each other. Otherwise, it just wouldn't work. God doesn't need your love. He wants it, but he's not going to withhold his love to you ever. And him loving you is not a daily lifestyle choice for him. He is love. And so you're special because you're made in his image. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. You're important enough that he has plans for you. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Each one of you is chosen and called. There are no exceptions. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you. You are valuable, more valuable than anything else in the world. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? He cares enough to know what you need. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And you are worth the sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And you are worth loving despite your mistakes. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's hard to see this kind of love because we just simply don't recognize it. Knowing our sin gives God the greatest reason not to love us. Where we would be reviled, he sees only beauty. But God doesn't make mistakes. You are not a mistake. We're not perfect, but we shouldn't be owned by our imperfections. We should be owned by God's love and his plans for us. Now, it's easy for me to stand up here and say this, and perhaps right now it's easy for you to hear this. But there are those difficult times, those dark times, when hearing this is not that easy. And so there are two things I think that can help us. The first, let the truth be louder than the lies. The world bombards you with lies, so get louder. Get the worship music on. Other worship leaders are available. Listen to helpful Christian podcasts. Put posters up at home that declare the truth, that remind you. Wear t-shirts that proclaim the truth. At home, we even have tea towels with it on. Surround yourself with a loving Christmas Christian community. Join a connect group. I've said before, it's too dangerous to do this on your own. And let me ask you this. Is the truth ever on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or the BBC News? It's not. So don't go there first. Make the truth louder. And be soaked in Scripture. Read your Bible daily. Make the truth louder. And secondly, surrender. Don't try and do this on your own. Let God take over. In the original passage that we were looking at, John 14, in verse 26 and 27, Christ says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." We're not alone. The Holy Spirit, that part of God that lives in us, is here. Take time to listen to him. One of the main ways that the Holy Spirit will speak to us is through the Bible. So as I said, read your Bible daily, be soaked in the scriptures. Allow him to speak the truth to you. Allow him to guide your actions. And every day say, "Lord, speak to me today. Guide my actions." Take time to pray and listen. Don't rush. Let God have the first word. So if you want to live in peace with yourself, if you want that peace, that quietness and rest, you have a simple choice. It's not always easy, but it's a simple choice. Believe the lies or believe the truth. And in that truth, find joy and see who you really are. Let's pray.